Rick, in case there are people who've bought this and they've not really heard Car before, remember we were talking a while back about the questionnaire that is often featured at the end of the TV programme Inside the Actor's Studio?
Oh, yeah.
Where the host, James Lipton, always asks the same questions to every guest. And it's just supposed to sort of, you know, get their creative, you know, juices flowing, their mind working. We did ask Carl some of them. We never completed the questionnaire.
Oh, let's carry on with
that then.
I'd
fire a few more at him.
And that'll also introduce some people to the way his mind works a little bit. Okay.
Question 6. What sound or noise do you love, Carl?
There isn't really one that I love. Nice noises.
Yeah.
Like the ones you get, like I like going in the park, right? And you go, oh, that's nice, isn't it? And you get like bird noises and stuff.
Give me your fucking wallet.
But then like
things like nice noises like that, and but
you
fucking you can't. Why did you fucking sleep with her? It's lovely in the park, isn't it?
But with those bird noises comes a bit of stress, right? Because I was in there the other day, and like I say, little bird noises and that, and a little robin was there, and I thought, that's odd, that's out early, right? Because it's like sort of summertime and that.
Sure.
And then I thought, oh, that's nice, and I was watching it. And then it got, like, a little worm, right? Mm. And I was like, hey, put it down, right?
Sorry, whoa! What do you mean? Why are you interfering? Why were you interfering...
In nature.
With a robin... taking a worm.
Just because it was a nice sunny day and that, and I thought, you see, worms normally come out when it's raining, don't they? And you go, well, I bet they're happy to die, in a way, because it's chucking it down, it's miserable. They come to the top of the soil then, don't they?
Yeah.
When it's miserable. But it was a sunny day.
Unless they don't drown, I assume.
No, it's not that, is it? It's just that they hear the water or something falling on the ground and they go, what's going on? And they come up to see what's happening.
What? No, no, wait, but why do they come up when they think it's raining?
Because they're hearing, like, knocking on their land, and they're going, who's that? And they come up.
Sorry, wait a minute. But why do you think they come up when it's raining?
Because they're hearing the noise of the
yes,
rain.
Yes, but they know what it is. What am I doing? Why am I talking like him? Of course they don't know what it is. Look.
Can worms hear stuff?
Yeah.
Well, they got. You don't know anything, Carl.
But I assume they can sense vibrations and so on. But they can't hear in the way we hear.
No, of
they
course don't
have
they
ears,
can't.
Do they?
Of course they can't.
Well, whatever, right? So all I'm saying is that.
But what's this thing about these worms? They hear the tapping and go, oh, "What's that?" Right. Tell us. Okay. So start. You're a worm. Okay. It starts raining. Tell me your thought process.
Well, you just kind of you're down there. You can't see anything. It's dark anyway.
Yeah.
So
and
you
have
hear
eyes.
About this, don't you? You hear about blind people have got really good ears. And it's the same with a worm. No, they do. It's an extra sense.
No, it's not. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. They start getting used to relying on them more, but it doesn't. So you don't turn into a bionic woman because you lose your eyes.
No, but you do because you use them more. If you use something a lot, you get better at it. So their ears are good. So all I'm saying is, so this rain's coming down.
I don't know who to believe here, Rick.
The rain's coming down on the land. The worm goes, "What's going on?"
Goes, what's going on?
He wiggles up to the top.
So what does he do?
So it goes up and it sort of sees it's raining and then it goes back down again, doesn't it? But that's what I'm saying about the
what do you mean? What is this world where he goes, oh, it's just rain again? Oh, so that's the 400th time I've been caught out this year. It's rain. I'll remember next time. I won't come up. What do you think a worm is capable of in terms of cognitive thought?
What do you mean?
Well, a worm can basically tell certain chemicals and certain light patterns. That's all it is, really.
Yeah, and
it's not thinking, it's not choosing its favourite food.
But you don't know that. It's the same way you're saying to me, I don't know what a worm's thinking. You don't know what it's thinking.
I know it's not thinking.
You don't know that, though, is what I'm saying. You don't know what things are thinking. Everything thinks, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No. Thinking.
There's something in this room that's not.
All right, what about this one, then? What about flowers? Do you think they've got a...
A mind.
A feeling. Because here's something that...
Again, they use phototropism. They go towards the sun. They close and
all right,
open.
Well,
can you stop using long words, Rick, like sun?
Listen. Do you know I've been to my mum and dad's? Right? I was talking to my mum about stuff.
All right.
And she was saying how this flower solved a crime. What happened was, there was a murder
right,
in an office. So they said it's obvious that someone who works in the office did this murder because that person's only a sort of a typist. He has, you know, they've done nothing wrong. So they said that's narrowed it down, right? So this flower man came in and he said, I can sort this out for you. So they said, what do you mean? He said, well, during the murder, the plant was knocked off the cabinet.
Yeah,
right. And he had some special wires that he can put on special the flower. Special wires, yeah. On the flower, and it's sort of shaking and stuff. Because even though you can't see it, flowers pick up bad vibes and whatever. If you shake a plant, it doesn't like it.
Okay.
Right? So what happened was, he said, right, what we'll do, we'll put the plant back on the shelf.
Yep.
We'll water it. We'll calm it down. Then get...
Give it a nice cup of tea.
Then get every member of staff to come in the room and just go near the flower.
Right.
So don't tell them...
So like a line-up for the flower?
Kind of.
Kind of like a line-up.
Yeah. But don't tell them what we're doing. Just send them in and say, stand by that cabinet where the murder happened and what have you.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a long day. They were getting through a lot of stuff. It was a big office block.
Yeah.
They were going, this isn't working. You know, the flower's not budging.
Mm.
Suddenly, they get into like the last part of the day when they were almost giving up.
They call in a sketch artist. The plant gives them a
some caretaker fella.
Caretaker, yeah.
Said go over there.
Was it? You know, was it an old man? That I mean, because Scooby Doo didn't like him from the beginning.
No.
So you know, is that why is that janitor so evil?
They send the caretaker over to the plant. He's going. You know, he's thinking I've got away with this.
Of course.
Mm. Plant starts shaking. What have you? They did him.
Okay, wait a minute then. So, was there any other evidence?
Was that the only evidence they used in the trial?
Well, no, it's one of them things, though. Imagine it, if you're that caretaker and you're thinking, I've got away with this, then suddenly a plant grasses you up. You weren't expecting that. So suddenly you're off guard.
And you go, okay, calm, get that chrysanthemum away from me, I did it. You're talking absolute bollocks. That was one of the most nonsense pieces of shit I've ever heard
in
my life.
Listen, well, it happened, but
it didn't happen.
You said it. But what I was saying is about the worm, right? The worm that I saw, like I say, it was a sunny day. I thought, you know, what's that doing up here and what have you? So anyway, so this robin that I saw that was eating the worm, it had hold of it, and I thought, it's a sunny day and that, give the worm a break sort of thing. So I went, oi, like that, and it sort of dropped it in shock. But then, when it realised I wasn't that near it, it picked it up again and swallowed it. And I just thought, oh. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean, no.
I just thought, it's a sunny day and everything, normally birds are nice noises that I like, and yet there it is going about wrecking lives.
Wrecking lives! It was a worm!
It just, no, but it just swallowed it really quickly in that, and I thought, that's life, innit? That's what life is like. 1 minute it's there, then it's not. I just thought, there's the worm. It came out, it was happy, didn't know what was going on, and it had an extra chance, the robin dropped it, and then it got it again and ate it, and I just made me a bit fed up.
Well, do you know why, don't you? You couldn't outwit a robin. People put it off, but then it won. That's the terrible thing, isn't it? The worm was going, oh, God, Carl Pilkington. So that's who's been sent to save me, is it, God? You've sent Carl Pilkington, oh, I'm dead. That's it. Okay. Eat me.
But all I'm saying is our bird noises are normally quite relaxing, but not for the worm.
Unbelievable. That was one question.
Question 7. What sound or noise do you hate?
As me or as a worm?
I don't know what you mean. What do you mean?
Why would we be asking a worm?
I've never heard an actor say that to James Lipton. When he says, what noise do you hate? What, as me or a worm?
No, but all I'm saying is, because of my last question, that's what I was saying, a bird noise is relaxing to me.
Right.
Well, it's not anymore, because I think of all the deaths and stuff that go around that.
So now you hate the sound of birds?
I'm just saying it's changed my view on it. It's so, like it's like anything, isn't it? Every noise can mean a disaster somewhere.
Can it? Why?
Think of some other noises you like. Okay, what's a lovely noise?
No, hang on, why would the sound of laughter, people laughing, why would that suddenly cause, why would that also signify disaster?
Asylums.
Yeah, that's depressing, isn't it?
They're always laughing in asylums.
But it's a scary laugh, isn't it?
What?
It's like, oh. If you wake up in the night by the sound of, like, a baby laughing... No, if I had a baby, right, and Suzanne was out, she'd work nights or something.
Yeah.
And I'd nodded off, I'd put the baby to sleep.
Yeah.
and then it's 3 a.m. and I'm woken up by the sound of a baby laughing. That would terrify me.
How is this there? I just think the baby's sitting up in a chair like Chucky going...
Well, no, the... I think the baby's reading his diary. Thinking, oh, Christ, this is my father. I just hope I'm adopted.
Oh, God. A baby laughing. Oh, God. Come on. No, I'm not getting off this subject. Right. So what are the sounds, right? What are the sounds? Right. More you like. Well, come on. There must be sounds you like.
No, the sounds he hates are even more fascinating. This terrifying, God. Haunting baby laugh.
I don't think you can pick any sound and say, I like that.
I imagine we don't like the sound of a tiger. Evolutionary speaking, that's probably not a good sound to hear.
But there are obviously some calming noises because, you know, when your mother sings you a nursery rhyme or something when you're a kid, you know,
your mother's
calming.
Voice. Of course, your mother's voice, that's probably pre-programmed for you to like it.
Yeah. So there's a time and a place. A lion's roar or whatever you just mentioned, a tiger growling, it's all right. If you're in a zoo, you go, oh, look at that. So there's a time and a place for everything, isn't there?
Yeah.
I don't know what that point is. I don't know how that relates.
Because, I mean, I live in London. If I woke up and heard the sea, I'd be worried. I'd be, what's going on?
You're like the worm who hears the rain.
Question 8. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
This is you as you, not as you as a worm.
But have I had the training?
Oh, for
No, well, I've said before, haven't I, about maybe having a go at an operation.
I don't know why it leaps from where it leaps from no ambition. Where if he could have a job, it would his best job he's ever had is a paper round. And if he could have a job, he'd like go to the cobbler once a week and then walk a dog. To I'd like to have a go at thoracic surgery.
No, I'm just saying. I bet it's a like we do this, and you know some people like listening to it and what have you. And you go fair enough, but I never feel like I'm doing anything of any worth.
No, you're absolutely right there.
But if you're going into like an hospital, which are places that are pretty miserable anyway, as an office space. Do you know what I mean? When you're in waiting rooms and that.
I'd hate to have my office in, you know, A&E.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's loads of ill people coming in. They're normally upset. Do you know what I mean? It's even if the sun's out, it's a depressing building, isn't it?
There's so people handcuffed to policemen.
Not only have you got to go in that building and work in it, but you've then got the pressure of changing a lung or whatever I've said before. Right?
Changing a lung, yeah.
But I'd like to have a go at it so I can say...
You've done it.
I've done that.
So under what circumstances, in what world, do you think anyone's going to let you have a go at changing a lung and that? Jim will fix it?
No, I'm just saying the
comic
way...
Comic relief?
But the way the world is and the way that there's more and more people, more and more doctors are needed. I mean, it's already happening now that people are doing jobs that they're not really qualified for because they get sort of, what's the word? Sort of uppered too early.
Uppered.
Uppered! Uppered! I love the fact, it's basic language. It's like, it's unbelievable. It's like there are only sort of like 50 words in the English language, so he has to like, you know, change them and customise them. Uppered.
Do you know what I mean?
Promoted.
Promoted. Yeah. They get promoted
too early. I prefer uppered.
Uppered's great.
So
why was I not uppered? Unbelievable.
So, do you know what I mean? I think because more and more people are knocking about, we need more and more doctors.
Yeah.
You get a job in a doctor's, you're going to be promoted sooner now, I think.
Yeah. Well, what I'd do is I'd probably upper you, and then, what's the word? You go away them.
I think it is you go away them.
You leave the door, you. You leave the door, you fire them. That's it. That's the word I'm looking for. So I'd upper you and go away the doctor, if anything.
But I've been to, you know how I don't like going to the doctors and stuff?
Yeah. Because right? You're always scared that they might investigate below the bridge.
Yeah, but I checked on that before. I signed up to it, and then they said, right, before we can take you on as a patient, you've got to have a health check, right? Which I thought was odd, because it's almost like saying, if you're ill, we can't be having you come in here, right? But I said, right, okay, fair enough, what is this health check? And they said, oh, you know, we just check your body out and make sure you're fit and healthy. And I thought, that isn't enough information. You know, I know if it's the old finger trick. Or and I said, what do you mean, though? When you said health check, what do you do? And she said, oh, it's just... I think she knew what I was getting at. And right. She said, oh, it's just the blood pressure, your height, your weight.
Okay.
That's about it. So I went and had it and stuff. But you had to, before you sort of said, right, I want this doctor, they give you loads of forms to fill out, right? And one of the things they did was, if you die, what do you want to give away? Right, like a donor.
Mm.
And it had like, it's basically everything you've got in you. It was all your main bits. Your liver, your heart, your kidney, and what have you. And I thought, I really thought about it for 40 minutes or so. I didn't just rush into it. I was sat there thinking, you know, if I'm dead, does it matter and stuff? But I was really concerned when it said about the eyes.
Right.
Right. Why? What do you mean? What? Because can they have your eyes after you die?
It was. I think it was fourth on the list.
Right.
So they just sort of crammed it in. I think they know everybody's a bit cautious about giving
their
eyes away.
No one cares more about the eyes than the liver or the... Why do you care about giving your eyes away when you're dead?
Just because of that thing of, you know, we don't know for sure yet. I know that you poo-poo it, but the afterlife thing.
Right,
you don't know for sure if...
Well,
if,
why would there be? How would there be? How would it work? Why do you think there's an afterlife? Why do you think there's... Why?
Because we're here already. It blows my mind that we're wandering about this planet anyway. Do you know what I mean? The fact that we're here just by...
Gravity blows your mind, Carl.
No, but do you know what I mean? The fact of your mum and dad have it away and then you just pop out and it's like, how's that happened? And then it's the
what
fact
happens
that
is the father inserts his...
No, but what I mean is, you know, not just that bit. How I've said before about my heart just sort of pumping away on its own. No one's keeping an eye on it. It's not plugged into anything. No. And yet I want to move my hand like that and it does it.
Yeah.
That blows me away, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're still worried about whether you control your brain or the brain controls you.
So what I'm saying is, how do you know what goes on after life? Because, do you know what I mean?
So why in an afterlife would you want your eyes more than your liver and your kidneys and your lungs and your heart?
Because ghosts don't eat, do they? So you don't need all your liver and your kidneys and stuff, because they're only there to sort your food out. But your eyes, if you're a ghost, I don't want to be a blind ghost. Because you're around forever then, aren't you? Once you're a ghost, that's it. So the idea of being blind when you're alive, you go, well, all right, then maybe in the afterlife I might be treated to a pair of eyes. But the fact of wandering about, dead for years, bumping into stuff...
Oh, God! Oh, it's amazing! That's an amazing image!
So I didn't tick that box.
But why... I don't understand. In your theory of the afterlife, why is it that this ghostly Carl, why can he survive without a heart, but he can't survive without eyes? Why... Do you see what I mean? Surely if you're this ghostly apparition, you can just see everything and you can do everything. You don't need the body.
No,
because you're a ghost.
Yeah, I know, but I think when you're a ghost... Say, like, how they've seen ghosts in...
Right, could I just say now, for any listeners, this is not the thoughts and beliefs of the management. There is no such thing as ghosts. I do not believe in ghosts. I do not believe in ESP or any mumbo-jumbo. Carry on, Carl. So when there's a ghost, yeah...
When they see ghosts in, like, old castles and stuff...
Mm.
Yeah.
They've had their head cut off because they've been up to no good, right, years ago.
But they're carrying it around normally under their arm.
That's what I'm saying. It hasn't reattached itself. So if you take the eyes out...
But, Carl, how is this ghostly creature able to function? It doesn't have its head on anyway. It's carrying it under its arm. So the suspicion is it doesn't need its head.
No, it does.
It just happens to be carrying it around because wants to keep it with it.
The ghost is always in the last condition that it was in when it was in...
Who makes these rules?
The way you are in your last bit of life is how you are as a ghost forever, even in the fashion. Like I say, the ghosts that you see never wear modern clothes, do they? It's always the Victorian stuff. Now, God, if they could change it, they would, but they can't because they stuck with it. So that's
why did you see cavemen ghosts? When did ghosts start? They didn't kick in till about 1830, did they? What if you die when you're having a rectal examination? Are you always bent forward with your trousers around your ankles and someone's finger up your ass?
But why would you die when you're having that done? That's why I'm not having it done. If that's you're
saying,
no.
But you might have both been suddenly. Killed in a terrible disaster.
Yeah, a meteorite hit you.
A meteorite hit you, or the,
well,
you
that's when you get the moaning ghosts, isn't it? That's the other ones who aren't happy.
So you're going round, bent forward. You've got a doctor's finger up your ass.
Yeah.
And what are you doing?
You start going, and that's when you have to get the vicar round.
What do you mean?
Because they have to put you to rest and what have you, don't they?
And what does a vicar do when he's going? So I get the vicar round. Okay, well, this
see, I don't want to get caught with my with someone with their finger up my arse when the vicar's come round.
The last thing I want to get, catch me is the vicar coming in when I've got a doctor's finger up my arse. I usually hide in the wardrobe when that happens.
Whenever that happens.
So listen, wait. So you're haunting, right? It's years later. It's 100 years later. You're around this doctor's surgery, and there's people coming, and the doctor there, the new doctor there, and it's 2073, and they go, Vicar. They go, Vicar, there's a strange ghostly apparition. It looks like an old doctor, right, and he's got his fingers up this sort of like little... It's like a chimpanzee, but with a shaved head.
No, but the doctor wouldn't be... Are you saying the doctor dies as
you die at the same time with his finger up your ass, and so you're forever having a little rectal examination with your little trousers around your ankles.
Well, that's when it'd be best not to have your eyes.
What a load of bollocks this is.
This is extraordinary.
No, but listen to this. This is a good one. And
this will convince us, this one.
Yeah, this way, okay. This will be proof. Go on.
I watched the programme the other week about dead people.
Of course you did. Right?
And it was people who had been found in their house. You know, they haven't got any family. Yeah. They died sat in their armchair. Nobody's knocking on the door, ringing them and checking if they're all right. Yeah. Right? So they die. Yeah. And they rot away in the chair.
No. Oh.
People, you know, the next door neighbour called up whoever you call up for dead people and go, there's a dead body next door, it's stinking, can you come and get rid of it? Right? Mm. They go in and...
I forget what service that is.
I don't know where you find that in the yellow pages.
Yeah. It's a good business though, isn't it?
Hello, corpse removal.
Stinky dead people.
So they go in, it's flies everywhere.
Of course there is, yeah.
The doors and the windows are shut. Where are them flies from?
Do you mean?
Do you know that thing, reincarnation?
Yeah.
I think there it is. There's an example of it. How there was no flies in there. A body rots away. Out of the body comes flies. So you live on.
Or out of the body comes flies from the maggots that were in the body.
Oh, okay. Maggot then. So we've gone on. We've lived on.
What do you mean? The fly isn't a reincarnation of the maggot. The maggot is the larval stage of the fly.
No, but I'm... Forget all the maggot fly... Right. Think about going from man to a fly.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying the windows and the doors on this house was shut tight.
Yeah,
no flies had got in. They hadn't got in.
They'd already there. We're surrounded by them. We've probably got fly eggs on us now.
Well, all I'm saying is it's weird that them flies were in there when they weren't in there. I don't think this fella would have had loads of fly eggs on him. But I just think it's a bit odd.
Why? What do you mean?
I just think there was loads of them. You didn't see it.
But it only takes one fly to lay loads of eggs.
Yeah, but...
So you think it's wiser to ignore Ricky's answer and go with your ghostly supernatural reincarnation one? You think that's the wise, sensible way to go?
I just think it's a bit odd how every time someone's got fly eggs on them.
So that, to you, is less of a chance of happening than when you die, some of you turns into flies... Fly parts.
Well, that happened when my dad chucked a turkey away in a bin. And it was only in there for about a day. I went to go and put, like, a crisp packet in the bin at the end of the garden and what have you. Picked the lid off, full of flies.
Yeah.
Now, the bin lid. Yeah.
It's like a constant fight with his own brain.
Was fairly sealed and what have you.
Yeah.
Again, it's the turkey living on.
No, it's not. It's the fact that while it was out on the table...
It hadn't been out on the table. We didn't eat in the end because it had feathers on it. My mum said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but the... what do you mean it had feathers on it?
My dad got it off a mate and said, yeah, I've got this for Christmas. But it was still virtually alive. And my mum said, oh, I'll just get one from the supermarket. So we put it in the bin.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is...
I'm telling you, the eggs were already on it, mate.
It's just an idea I've had. It's a theory. Everyone's allowed one.
But it's bollocks.
Back to the Inside the Actors Studio questions. Question 9. What profession, Carl, would you not like to do?
You see, in a way, some bad jobs are good jobs in a way. Because, one, it means that when you have holiday, you really appreciate it.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas, you see, I always thought, like, when I had a job where I used to have to do, like, 4 hours a night when I worked through the night, I only had 4 hours to do from 2 in the morning till 6, right? But it meant that when I was on holiday, I never really appreciated it, because between 2 and 6, I'd be asleep anyway. So unless I got up at 2 in the morning and went, I'm relaxing now, instead of working, you don't get the full...
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. The rules that you live by about what you can enjoy and what you can't.
What's good with a holiday, right? If you work, say if you work in a factory from 8 in the morning till 8 at night,
yeah,
packing socks into a rubber bag, right? Between 8 and... What time did I say me shift?
8 and 8. It's a 12-hour sock packing job. It is murder.
I also like it socks into a rubber bag.
Yeah.
I love to get my socks in a rubber bag. And also, he forgot the timings immediately. He said the sentence, then it went out of his head. If you're packing your... From eight, what time did I say it was? What are they packing?
So, all right, so you're a sock stuffer. You do a 12-hour shift.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So, you go, oh, come on, Rita, no more socks for me. I don't want to see another sock for a week. Have you got the rubber bag? Don't bring the rubber bag. That's the last thing I want to see.
So what I mean is, when you're on the beach, right, by the sea, between 8 and 8, you're thinking, oh, this time yesterday I was packing socks in a rubber bag. And you can really enjoy it. You can keep going... Oh, an hour late, you can go, oh, I was packing socks yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and you can, I'm glad you're enjoying it, love. Will you stop going about the fucking socks?
We're on holiday.
I don't think this marriage is going to last.
Oh, look, Rita, I know, you were packing fucking socks yesterday. Let's not fucking talk about it for a week, you boring bastard. Oh, Rita, what? This time is... I know, you were packing fucking socks in a rubber cunting bag.
No, I was having lunch at this time, you fucking slut.
Oh, Christ almighty.
So what I was saying is, when I was working from 2 in the morning till 6, to really enjoy being off from there, if I was on holiday...
You'd have to get up in the middle of the night.
To go, oh, this time yesterday this time I was playing...
Surely the joy is not having to get up in the middle of the night. Then when you get up and thought, God, thank God I didn't have to get up in the middle of the night like I usually do. I slept through like a normal person. Surely that's the joy.
I think the joy is going... Oh, I'm normally doing this at this time.
But that's ridiculous, because if you worked right till 6 a.m, you presumably went to bed and slept in till sort of 3 in the afternoon or something, yeah? So
depends.
You'd be up at 10 a.m. going, wow, usually I'm asleep, so you get it then. So you're talking shit again.
And the final question from the Inside the Actors Studio questionnaire. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Is that how it works?
Oh.
No, what do you mean? What's the question?
Well, I don't know. You hear so many other things that you have to go through other gates. I can't imagine him being on the door, is what I'm saying. If he owns the place, what's he doing there? He could put anyone on it.
It's St. Peter, isn't it, who's normally minding the gates, famously.
Right, so it's him asking me.
Okay, well, let's say it's St.
Peter. No. You go through the gate. Peter goes, oh, you're expected. He's got an appointment. We're going through the guard. You go through the guard. Go through a few doors. Go up the top floor, right, past the executive washroom, into his big office, okay, that overlooks the universe.
And God says, why have you got a doctor with his finger up your arse?
And you go, well, you should know, you caused it.
So what?
So you've gone in to see God, it's an audience with God, you've died, you've gone to heaven, and what would you like God to say to you at that point? He might offer you great wisdom. He might ask you a question. He might tell you something. What would you like him to say?
And is this just one visit? This is like, because it's my first day.
Yeah, it's your first day. With him. You get a chat with him, yeah.
But after that, I don't.
Well, you might bump into him at the
Christmas party,
the AGM.
But I'm not going to be myself, am I? I'm going to be in shock a little bit, because it's like, I mean, I'm not comfortable on the first day of holiday. Because you're in different surroundings, the hotel, you've got to get used to where everything is.
Yeah.
So he's not going to get the best out of me.
Well,
to be
no,
honest.
But you have eternal bliss.
Yeah, he's got a long time to get to know you, and he knows everything anyway, so don't worry about it.
So why is he seeing me then?
What would you want God to say to you? So you walk in there, you're happy with it because you understand now you're dead and it's a whole new world and everything's all right, you feel great. Like, what am I saying?
Well, anyway.
I'm going along with this drivel. Yes. What would you like God to say to you?
All right.
Probably just say, you've done well in that in your life. you never did anybody any harm. So, welcome to the to heaven. Any problems, give us a shout. You know, here's a little layout of like a, you know, like a little map. It's kind of like,
I love this. This is a great answer. And my favourite one is, you never did anyone any harm. That's great. That's a brilliant thing for God to say.
Yeah.
So hang on, he's giving you a little map.
So he's giving you a little map of the area.
Map, and he'll sort of say, this is where you go for this, this is where you go for that. I'd probably ask him about the ghost situation. I'd say, am I now a ghost then? Or is this just like another planet that I've come onto?
Right.
I don't know if he'd answer that. I don't know if he'd be sort of a bit, sort of, you know, a little bit...
A bit cagey.
Yeah. A little bit like, well, I don't want to panic you and stuff. I'd say, right, is it right that I can see past family and that? Because, to be honest, I'd probably prefer to stay away.
He doesn't even want to!
No, but because the thing is, if you've done all, I've done all that in this life, so it's about moving on to another life and meeting different people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point? It's just like the same all over again, but everywhere's white.
So who's the worst person? You go to heaven and it's all great and God goes, oh, look, and here's so-and-so, and you go, oh, what's he doing here?
Yeah. But why would he be introducing me to that one?
Ugh. No, I'm saying, who's the worst person you'd like to see?
And who do you just not want to encounter in heaven?
What if he said, right, Carl, you're in heaven, but we've got to teach you a lesson. You're a bit cruel to freaks. Here's Pillow Man. Here's the three-legged juggler. Here's the Elephant Man. They've got a few questions.
Yeah, that'd be all right. That'd
Elephant
be
Man
enough.
Goes, why did you talk about me like that?
I'd say I never had a go at you.
Why did you talk about me eating buns?
But then I'd get a bit annoyed with God. I'd turn Elephant Man onto God. I'd say, well, hang on a minute. At least when he put his head down on that pillar and he did himself in, he did that because he was sick of life. You've brought him up here, he's still got the head. Why didn't you give him a better head whilst he was up here in his next life?
Well, he could say the same to you.
Heaven's beginning to sound like one of the worst drinks do's ever. It's awful. Everyone's sort of making kind of snipey comments and you're having to make conversations with people you don't really want to talk to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure God's the best host.
I mean, I don't know if it is like
this. Do you think God would like this podcast?
Well, I suppose it just kills half an hour, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but time's not a problem for him, is it?
Yeah, it is, because he lives for ages, so he needs loads of filler. I bet he's, you know, doing stuff that he's just like, I'm not really into this, but it's something to do, isn't it?
Sudoku and stuff.
I love the idea God's bored.
Yeah.
Is it a lot to keep him going? Oh, God.
Playing solitaire on the computer.
I know, yeah.
But I think there'll be just as many problems up there as there is here, because at least people are leaving here. Whereas up there, that's the thing that I'd be worried about the most, actually, that it's really crowded. Because it's years and years of dead people, isn't it? London does me head in. Up there, it's going to be well busier than that.
And what are you... So presumably you're all naked.
Why has that happened?
Well, because he didn't want Adam and Eve to put clothes on, did he? He was annoyed at the snake and everything, and Eve. So you're all back to nature, you're all naked. So you're all walking around naked, right?
Yeah. But...
So you're up there, you're up there just naked, talking to Graham Norton and stuff like
that. But I'd have to get used to that. If I go up there and he goes, right, you're welcome to heaven and that, and I go, all right, I've made it to heaven, he goes, yeah. Right, put your clothes in the bin bag.
No, you're up there, you're already naked.
Right, I'd say this is a bit odd.
Why? You wouldn't worry about it though, would you?
Yeah, but it's just odd, isn't it? It's something different, and something different, you know.
Well, no, you've been naked before.
Yeah, but I don't roam about with people around me.
They're
naked.
Not people.
You'd have to get used to that.
They're heavenly creatures.
I'd say, look, can you just leave me for like 4 days just to get used to this idea?
4 days, okay.
4 days, just to get used to wandering about, and I'd be in my house, and I'd
sort
of look out. The house that I'm living in.
Well, you don't live in a house in heaven. You just wander around on clouds, don't you? All naked and just...
Oh, it's getting worse. I don't think it's that good. It's not fair, though, because all them lot have been up there ages with, like, a chance to get a bit of sun on the body and that, so they'll look all right. I'll be wandering about with, like, underpant marks and stuff.
Underpant marks!
Rick, I know this is something you always get excited about. It's Carl's diary. Can we have a jingle?
I don't believe it! He's got it written down!
Thank you very much. Woke up to the news about an elephant in India that had sore feet, so the locals have made it a big pair of slippers. Tried to look online for a picture, but I couldn't find anything.
Sure, they've made it two pairs of slippers.
Well, I'm only going by the facts in the diary, Rick, and I would have thought that they were absolutely bona fide and fact-checked and completely yeah. accurate. I'd be very surprised if there's any mistakes in here. I'm sure they've done this for an elephant before. I thought elephants have bad memories. But fair enough. I thought elephants have bad memories. If they have, I'm guessing it's going to keep forgetting where it's left them.
I mean, just to get the... If it's a myth, the myth completely wrong.
Yeah.
Elephants never forget. That's the saying. Not they always forget, so you can buy them slippers every year.
Carl says, I haven't had a pair of slippers for years. He thinks they're dying out.
No, I love slippers.
I love a pair of slippers,
I love a pair of slippers, mate.
Just wear socks.
Slidey on a Carl. No. Slidey on a piece of lino.
I know. And what about if you, you know, maybe opening a brand new box of thumbtacks? You drop them all over the floor. You're trying to pick them up.
Rick, I've got to pop across the road to get some milk. But well, it's right opposite. I'm surely not going to go in my socks, though. But I don't want to put on the shoes. It's mad.
No. Pop some slippers on.
Well, perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't go out in your slippers.
Why not?
Just across the street, mate, to get some milk.
Because they're inside shoes. You don't go roaming about on tarmac in slippers. That's basic.
But you don't have any slippers, so you're just tiptoeing across the street, you know.
I put my shoes on.
But you can pop out and get the paper and, you know, the bottle of milk, can't you, in the slippers without any harm done?
No.
Huh.
Apparently not. That'll make it into the diary. Tried to have a shower, but there was no water.
I love it when he calls me and things go wrong with the flat.
But I like the fact that he tried to have a shower, but there's no water. How long did it take you before you realised he was there for 20 minutes?
After 20 minutes, he said, Suzanne, should I be dry?
Yeah, I'm freezing cold.
Yeah, no, you should be sort of wet and warm. Right, there's no water then. Brilliant.
I called the service charge people, but no one was about. Looked outside, but couldn't see any work going on. Great, innit? In India, they can sort out elephants with shoes. In London, we have no water. Hung about for a bit, but still no sign of any water. Brushed my teeth just using the paste and used the little bit that was in the kettle to have a wash. I was pretty chuffed that I thought of using that. Suzanne was a bit annoyed because she wanted a cup of tea. She said, go across the road and buy a big bottle of water.
Not in your socks. Pop some slippers on.
Go across the road and buy a big bottle of water, she said. I never thought of that. You had a wash using the water in the bottom of the kettle.
Yeah, well, that's clean, isn't it?
But how much? There's only a little drop in there.
No, it's a big kettle.
So what, did you just wash your face?
Yeah.
So you didn't wash your body or anything?
Your genitals were
filthy. Well, you couldn't, could you? You've got to look at what you can do with the water available. People in Africa and that short of water aren't wasting it, saying, oh, my feet are a bit dirty. They drink it. What do you mean?
Add a look online to see what's been going on. Scientists say that Everest, brackets the mountain, just in case you've confused that with any other Everests.
Maybe the double glazing people.
Yeah. Scientists say that Everest has grown a bit. The way they were talking about it, you'd have thought it's grown loads. It's only inches.
No, isn't that... They found out that it's actually a couple of inches taller than they first thought because their methods of measuring are more accurate than they were 20 years ago. So... It's bigger than they thought it was. It hasn't grown.
No, I just think what's happened is at the bottom, because of like people are always climbing up it, aren't they? Right?
Yeah.
So they're sort of wearing away the soil at the bottom.
Talk rubbish.
So they've always pushed it down.
It's also measured against sea level. It's not measured about when you get. Otherwise, they'd just dig a big hole, wouldn't they, and go, right, it's down to here. If the peak is measured against sea level.
Does it matter at the end of the day?
No, but it's just nice to know, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is we don't need to know that. It's not going to put anyone off. Like Brian Blessed, who's always climbing up there for fun, he's not going to go, oh, I could handle it last year, but oh, two more inches. Forget that. Going to be shattered. So don't worry about it. It doesn't matter how big it is. Something else, though, that's happened since, right? They were climbing up there and someone got near the top and they were sort of climbing up like that, holding the cliff edge and that.
And they'd forgotten the flag. I had to go back.
No, their hand hit the bit of rock and it went like ding. I'm like, what's that? It went, ding, ding. Put another hand up. Ding, ding. Piano under there. They don't know how it's got there.
Right, you're talking shit again.
Someone's been tipping.
Well, oh, right.
Up Everest.
Okay. The council won't even take away your washing machine unless you pay them. They're not going to sneak up Everest.
No, this is the problem, isn't it? Because the council won't take anything. People are going, what can we do with this?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll just I'll tell you what. Just sneak up Everest. It'll take you 9 days. And you may die. But just pop it up on Everest.
Well, I know for a fact that you've confused a few things there, because I think the piano being found was actually somewhere in Scotland, some kind of moor in Scotland, and they found a piano up there, and everyone said, I don't understand, how's the piano doing up here? And it turned out that some guy, one of these people who, like, tries to break world records, had dragged a piano up there as some kind of feat of endurance, but thought, I'll be damned if I'm going to take it back again, and just left it up there. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, bloody tipping or aliens or anything.
My dad used to bury things in the garden because the council used to charge for, like, washing machines and mangles and cookers and pets. So I'm just thinking, in millions of years, when they dig that up, they think that dogs used to cook and washing up and things.
Yeah,
I love the idea of burying utensils. I think of the hole big enough to bury a washing machine
or a mangle. So whoever kind of bought that house after your dad, they got a little treat in store.
Yeah, lovely little themed rockery.
Yeah. The weather is weird this morning. One minute it's sunny, then it's thundering, then hailstones, then it's sunny again. People will be saying it's global warming. I don't really know what that means. Everything's changing all the time, innit? I wonder if years ago, when we first came out of the sea and we walked on land upright, did people blame the weather for that?
Good point, isn't
it? No. It's so stupid.
Yeah, ridiculous.
We didn't come out of the sea and instantly start walking around like humans and go, oh, can you believe it? We were swimming around, we were having a whale of a time. Do you know what? I blame the weather.
No, but now they would, if that happened. It's the same way, say, like, evolution, right? We talk about it a lot, right? Mm. Now, years ago, I don't know how it happened, but some whale had legs, right?
Yeah.
This is how it started.
Before he was a whale, yeah. Whales started off with legs,
they
that's
were
right.
They were rowing about on the beachfront, right? Anyway, it worked out that, you know, they didn't like it or whatever. Get back in. Now, say if that happened again now, right? Say if someone's born and they always say, don't they check for lumps and stuff, right? Make sure you haven't got any lumps. Now, say
sorry, who says this and what's the... What?
Like magazines and doctors and that. What, saying,
when you're first born?
Yeah.
Okay. Arbitrary decision, yeah, that answer. Yeah.
But
go on.
All I mean is, now, say if, like, our evolution thing is kind of like the next level is for us to have three legs because we're that busy on the world now.
But it doesn't work like that. Why would it work like that?
Because that's nature, innit? It deals with it. If people are getting stressed out and getting achy legs a lot because they're going, well, what you're doing there is you're using two legs like you've got three. You need another one. But the problem is...
No.
Say if someone grew a leg now because it's like, well, we need three legs.
Yeah, but
let him finish.
Okay.
People would go, oh, I found a lump, right? And the doctor would go, oh, whip that out. Now, that could be a third leg that's growing.
But, Carl, evolution doesn't work like that.
It does work.
Suddenly something isn't born with a perfectly formed third leg that can be passed on.
I know, it's a lump. It starts off like a lump, and if you left it alone, it would eventually, over a bit of time...
Over many, many millions of years.
Yeah, but it grows as another leg, but we're not letting that happen anymore.
It also wouldn't happen. Limbs don't work like that either.
They do if you keep putting extra pressure on two legs.
Carl, you're honestly, what you imagine the process of evolution and natural selection to be is... it's beyond me. It's
no,
incredible.
But it depends. Whatever your surroundings are, that's what you change to, isn't it? Like the...
Well, you don't change to it. You're either selected or you're not. So, what happens is there's a genetic throw-up. So something's born, you know, a llama's born with a slightly longer neck. And if that gets, you know, the leaves that are slightly higher up and it survives, it lives longer, it passes on its genetic material. Soon, if that works, now over millions and millions of years, that they're the dominant species, a new species is thrown up with a slightly longer neck, and so on and so on, and it's gradual. It's just a slight
advantage.
No,
sometimes it happens quicker than that. There's been animals that have had eyes, and then they go, oh, they don't need them, they go in the space of a fortnight.
What are you talking about?
There's a lizard somewhere where it's roaming about in the dark, and it used to have eyes, and they used to be like, why have we got eyes and that? What's the point in having these? Because we're keeping them open. And they were getting more tired. Because at the end of the day, if your eyes are open, do you know what I mean? Blind people can stay up longer than someone with eyes.
Keep going. I want to follow this through to its natural conclusion. Keep going. Keep going.
There is nothing to do. Right.
The first signs of you getting tired, you go, "Oh, my eyes! I can hardly keep them open."
Yeah.
So a blind person doesn't get that because they can roam about with them shut like
that. So they never sleep, do they, blind people?
Well, they sleep, but not. They don't need as much because their eyes aren't stinging.
All guessing, all guesswork, and all nonsense. I mean, all nonsense.
Well, hang on, fair enough. Okay, even if we accept that to be true of blind people, what was happening with the lizards? The lizards were going, "I can't believe it. This is mad. We don't need our eyes. We're down underground. What's the point?"
Over.
Jeff, Bill, let's just no longer use eyes.
Well, they were just like, in a way, it's better if we keep our eyes shut to keep the soil out and stuff. And then over time, they were like, "Oh, my eyes are stuck." Like the time when...
For a fortnight, you said.
No. It's over hundreds of millions of years. And the other thing is, it's not the case that there's no will to evolution. What happened was that a blind one had no disadvantage, so he was selected better than one with eyes that maybe would find it irritating or getting in the way. You know, just like a snake, it's not a disadvantage for a snake to lose its legs because it's selected and then it's an advantage because they can get into places that they, you know, legs would get in the way.
Like I've said before, right? You see, like a little fella, like a midget or a dwarf or something.
Right.
Who's to say that that isn't the way we should be?
Do you mean how do we know that?
Well, everybody looks at them and goes, "Oh, little fella," but really, it doesn't matter. If we were all like that, the world would be a better place because it's bigger, so there's more to see. Whereas for us, we're getting bigger all the time. The world isn't growing, so there's less to see for us. So for a midget, the world is brilliant. So I'd say it'd be good if we do go backwards as opposed to forwards. Instead of us getting bigger all
Steve,
the time...
Do you want a cup of tea?
No.
I'm not sure if, mate. I'll leave you to it.
Do you know what I mean, though?
We've only got instant coffee as well.
No,
yeah, I might pop out for something.
But what I mean is, they always say,
well,
like,
I'll
the,
make it.
The body's...
No, thanks, mate. But
tell me when he's finished.
I'm saying the body's getting bigger. And instead of going forward...
No sugar for me, thanks.
Do you want milk, though?
Yeah, milk.
Forget it.
Some scientists have come up with a cure for bird flu. It's somewhat to do with some stuff in horses. They gave the flu to a mouse and then injected it and it's well again. I think we should stop coming up with cures for things as the germs are just getting stronger and stronger. I reckon by 2020, germs will be so big that we will be able to see them in the air. They will no longer be little particles. You wouldn't swallow one. If you did, it won't be the germ that will kill you. You'll just choke to death.
I think that's how we'll die in the future.
Choking on enormous giant germs. And
they'll
be like rampaging around the cities. Will they?
I'll tell you what, though, right? Now I'm getting worried now because the stuff he believes and thinks of, it could be mental. Do you know what I mean, though? Like a proper paranoid sort of... one of those people that assume going to live in a loft covered in tinfoil.
Yeah.
Right? Pages of the Bible all the way around the... Suzanne's having to put on some sort of spacesuit to come in and give him his beans on toast.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to polish each bean.
That's what scientists do, isn't it? They just sort of think ahead of everyone else. That's what I'm doing. And the weird thing is, right, Steve, sometime last week, there was a science piece which was close to what I'd already said.
Yeah.
That they've got some germs that like eating sugar, right? They stick them in a lunchbox with a chocolate bar. Within an hour, it was gone. Right? And they say now these germs love chocolate and stuff.
Did this scientist leave it near this fat scientist that works in the same laboratory? Anyway, it's unbelievable. Ted, he went, "What?" "Right, I put the chocolate bar in here with the germ. I came, it's gone." "That's amazing." "Well, that's brilliant, that. Do it again." "What?" "Do it again. Leave another one, see if it happens again."
So in the future, you're running around and germs are...
eating chocolate.
That's not science, that's Pac-Man. Went to bed and chatted about food to Suzanne. I said it would be best if our bodies could be run on something like coal. That way you wouldn't get fat, people, because you wouldn't be eating for enjoyment. You'd just be eating to give you energy. Suzanne said, "Why do you always take the nice things out of life?"
Because sometimes to think about the future, it's not going to be all good, is it? Look at the way we have to do things now that we sort of go, oh, I'm sick of this. But they do it for your own good.
But you try and change the laws of the universe.
Based on arbitrary whims.
No, but we're always eating stuff. That's one of the things we do now, isn't it? As soon as we find a new creature like that frog that's been hidden away for like millions of years, you get someone who go, I wonder if we can eat that. Do you know what I mean? It's everything that's walking on the world, they sort of see what powers it's got. No, like if it can jump far, you know, is it poisonous? Can you get anything out of it to save people? And then can we eat it? They're the three things that they do with a new frog. Any creature.
So what are they? Can it jump fast?
Yeah.
Is it poisonous?
Poison in it that you can use to get rid of illnesses.
Yeah.
Can you eat it?
Because that's the first three questions anyone asks, do they?
It seems to be the way, because you look at menus and that, how they're getting bigger and bigger now, and that's only because we're finding more and more species of stuff.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at some stuff on a menu, that octopus you eat, at some point that would have gone through the list of, right, what does it do? What's it got in it? What does that ink do? What's it taste like?
Can it jump?
Can it, whatever, well, they've done tests on it, haven't they, when we said about it being in a... getting in a jam jar or something.
Yeah.
But it's all part of it. Everything's been tested. Everything.
But I think what the thrill is that the first you hear of a newfangled food, do you think that in ancient civilization they didn't do this? They didn't try an oyster or spear a fish or...
Yeah, because there wasn't that much other stuff knocking about at that time.
Right.
But we've got loads of stuff, so why are we messing about with some new frog? It's all like, people just like showing off, don't they? Leave the frogs, let them get busy and have loads of them, eat the chickens, when we run out of them, move on to the frog or whatever. But why have all this on the go? Do you know what I mean? It just makes it... I hate going out for a meal now because it's like, what are you having? Oh, I'm sick of it. Look at it all. And then you're forced into people going, oh, have you had the new frog? No, I don't want it. I'm happy with chicken. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Have you ever been out, Rick, and someone's been trying to force frog on you?
Never. I've never been forced frog in my life. Although I did go for a meal once with Carl. We went there and he had the Oriental hors d'oeuvres, I recommended, right? He was trying to get this little oyster, right, off the shell, right? And he was it stuck to its house, right? And I looked round and his eyes were watering and he was choking and he was drinking water. I said, what? And he said, I hit that. And it was a big blob of wasabi,
oof,
right? And I said, why'd you put it all in at once? He went, he said, I thought it was a mushy pea. Why would they put one mushy pea?
Was it hardcore, the wasabi?
It felt like my head was caving in.
That was just Ricky squeezing it, wasn't it? Between courses.
Trouble with that, though, is, you know hot food? Yeah. Where you get addicted to really hot food, is the pain is actually it's killing taste buds. And then endorphins are released in the brain, like, you know, a morphine derivative to sort of go, it's all right, oh, calm the pain. So you actually get addicted to that sort of, you know, what
so
happens.
Why would you want to kill your taste buds? But new ones come back.
Well, yeah, I think you'd
straight away.
Well, I don't know how long it takes. I don't know, I'm not sure.
No, it's just, is that the chef sort of going, oh, I'm serving some right rubbish tonight. Give him some of that kusabi.
Kusabi! Oh, God, and Tonto! Oh, God!
Back to the diary. At lunchtime, I went to a local cafe and had an omelette. An old woman, who was about 70-ish, was in there eating pizza. It didn't look right.
No.
I know what you mean there, actually. Old people eating pizza seems a bit weird. What about an old Italian lady eating pizza? Would that be all right?
No, I'd expect her to have lasagna.
Told Suzanne that I had read that we will have spoken to aliens by the year 2025. Ricky once told me that if a lion could speak English, it still couldn't have a good chat with us because its life is different to ours. If that's true, we've got no chance with an alien. I'd be worried it could read my mind. I had that problem once years ago when I worked in a studio making cassettes. Some mind-reading woman was having some cassettes made. She waited while I did them. She had a small dog. I knew she was trying to read my mind, so I just thought about the dog. I thought that would confuse her, because she wouldn't understand why I was thinking about her dog. There's so many elements in this. There's a woman who can read
She used to...
Read that again. Read that again. Okay, we're going to have an instant replay now. Any psychologist listening or psychiatrist or just, well, anyone, listen to this, what Carl's put in his diary. Okay, Steve, away you go.
I'd be worried that an alien could read my mind. I had that problem once years ago when I worked in a studio making cassettes. Some mind-reading woman was having some cassettes made. She waited while I did them. She had a small dog. I knew she was trying to read my mind, so I just thought about the dog. I thought that would confuse her, because she wouldn't understand why I was thinking about her dog.
That's amazing.
So, firstly, how did you know she was a mind-reading woman?
Everybody who came in having cassettes done, you'd find out about what the job is. So, you know, if it's a band or whatever, it might be a police station needing blank cassettes to interview people.
Yeah.
And she had them to sort of use during a thing where they do mind reading and stuff. So right. You get a recording of it.
Yep.
And she was just there and she was staring at me like that, just looking over. And a dog was sort of looking worried, and they pick up vibes, don't they?
No.
They do.
And why was it looking
what
worried?
What do you mean pick up vibes? Depends what you mean by pick up vibes.
Dogs pick up loads of vibes and stuff. I read the other day how they can tell if someone's got cancer and
well,
that.
Well, they can... Well, yeah. There's a science behind that. They can smell different... at a cellular level.
Yeah, you know, so it's the same
because it's
sort
like
of
70 times... But no, they can't go... The dog wouldn't even know you're an idiot. The dog...
was sort of looking weird and stuff.
It knew.
She was looking at me.
But were they looking... I'm not being funny. Were they looking at the roundness of your head, do you think?
No, they were just looking at me, and I was sort of panicking a bit. And the more that I was thinking she's reading my mind, I was thinking she knows that I know that she's reading my mind. So I just stopped thinking about her reading my mind. Thought about the dog.
What were you thinking about the dog?
Just running about on a beach.
He remembers what he was thinking.
No, just so she thought, oh, hang on a minute, it's not his mind, it's the dog's mind I'm picking up.
So you thought she'd go, oh no, I'm getting it all tangled up. I've got a cross line here.
But why were you worried that she was reading your mind? Because you weren't thinking of anything, unsafe.
Hold on, don't. Oh, please.
No, I'm just trying to get in his mind.
It doesn't work, Carl. No one can read your mind.
No, but wait, what I mean is, even if, you know, let's assume that you thought she could read your mind, why did you think that there was anything wrong with finding out what you were thinking? Because she'd have known that you knew that she could read minds. So if she read your mind and all you were thinking was she can read my mind, she'd think what?
Of course, if she really could read your mind, she's going, there's Carl there trying to make me think that it's the dog. I know he's thinking of the dog.
No, but when you sort of try and think of normal things, you think of mental things, don't you? So I was like...
Whoa, hold on, let's let that
go on, go on.
No, I just mean, like, you're going, oh, God, I best not watch what I'm thinking then.
What were you thinking? Tell me some of the mental things.
No, there was loads of things that was in there. Like, there was an old woman who used to annoy me in there, who used to give me socks all the time. And
socks?
Socks. She used to always make loads of socks, and she'd be bringing them in. And no matter what I did, no matter how much I sort of said, look, I'm sick of your socks, she kept bringing them in all the time. And they had, like, pictures on and that. I didn't want socks with pictures on. So, So I might have been sort of stood there going, oh, there she is with the socks, I'm sick of her. Now, if she can sense that, she'll go over to her and go, watch him, stop bringing him socks, or whatever.
No one can read minds, no one can contact the dead.
Say like me, right, if I sometimes come in the room and that, and I'm fed up, you go, oh, Carl's fed up, I haven't even said anything. So it's just that.
But that's because you look like a miserable bastard.
Yeah, and we know what that means. We're human and we understand facial movements.
So it's a bit like that. It's a bit like that. It's a level down from that.
No. She should be able to read your mind if you're locked in a safe and she doesn't know who you are and she doesn't know whether there's someone in there.
No,
that's what the double blind test is.
That would never work, would it? Because that means she'd never get a rest. That's like,
You're making up the rules. Oh no, the thing is, that's what these people do, go, oh no, I have to hold your hand. Oh, you have to write it down. Well, why? Why do you? It's the same as these mediums that contact the dead. They go, oh, I'm getting someone, just ask him who he is. Just give us his full name and address. It's ridiculous. I know the fact that these dead people give him cryptic clues. Ask him about the, toaster. What's your name? Can't say my name. Might be an uncle. Just give me your fucking name.
Back to Carl's diary, Friday the 31st. I read that some fella had been having an affair. His wife found out, so when he was asleep, she superglued his knob to his stomach, one of his bollocks to his leg, and glued his arse cheeks together, then chucked him out. If Suzanne did that, I would definitely not get back with her. Saying that, I would have woke up if someone was putting superglue on me arse. I'm quite a light sleeper.
Is that what she did, is it?
Yeah, that's why I'm a bit cautious about wearing earbuds every night. plunge things.
Earbuds,
right? Plunge
so that's not a cold, right? Plunge things. He's like, he makes up words. They taught a chimp to talk, and the chimp had a better grasp of language after about a few years than Carl. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's why I won't wear buds and plunge things. I phoned him up the other day. He went, oh, just tried out those new earplugs that mold your ear. You can't hear a thing except your own voice. And I went, oh, right, they're good, aren't they? He went, yeah. He said, it's weird hearing your own voice, isn't it? Because you're hearing it as other people hear it. I went, no, you're not. He went, you are. He said, you don't usually hear your own voice, because usually when you talk, you're talking over it.
Woke up at 9:55 a.m. Soon as I woke up, I looked at Suzanne and she looked at me. I said, did I tell you about...
I just think of him opening his eyes and looking at him.
Okay, all right. Okay, so he opens his eyes, he looks at Suzanne, she looks at him. What question, Rick, do you think he immediately asks his girlfriend?
Go on.
What question do you think? Have a quick guess.
Am I dreaming?
I woke up, I said to my girlfriend, did I tell you about... I woke up, I looked at Suzanne, she looked at me. I said, did I tell you about the immune system? Did I tell you about the immune system? Suzanne started laughing. I said, it's amazing. She said, not now.
Oh, God! I was thinking that!
Springing into action, he zips up, his eyes are like... Did I tell you about the immune system? Oh, shut up, Carl. Put the kettle on.
Oh, God. Oh, fucking hell.
Was talking to Suzanne about how it's odd that Sundays are meant to be the day of rest. I thought God was meant to be born on a Sunday. Or was it the seventh day that he finished making the world? Imagine how good the world could have been if he'd given it an extra day. Sometimes it's best to give yourself a deadline, though, so you don't faff about. I looked at Suzanne. She was leaning back on the bench with her eyes shut with the sun on her face. I never got an answer to my question.
Pretending to be asleep.
I met up with my mate Laurie. He said he was in a pub at the weekend and saw a bloke whose hands were on the wrong arms.
No! No! What do you mean?
Well, he had his left hand on his right arm and the right hand on the left arm. I don't think this would be a problem if he's been like that from an early age. When I was in Ripley's in LA, I saw a bloke whose head was on back to front.
That's more annoying, isn't it, than your hands?
Now then, would you walk? How would you walk? Would you be walking backwards, Carl, so that you could walk? So you're basically walking forwards.
I reckon I'd walk sideways, so nobody would sort of tell the difference. It just looked like.
Oh God! He solved it again.
He's thought it through. Got home and read my magazine. There was a story about a baby that was born that looked like a frog. What magazine's this?
That made the news, that was in a proper newspaper in the end.
The story used the description to describe it. There was a picture. I think it was a fairly decent description. It didn't really have a neck or top half of its head. It would look alright if it always wore a scarf and a hat. The world would be a more interesting place if there were loads of different types of humans like there are creatures. Then some people would be good at certain jobs. Spider people, ant people, builders. Cockroach people, dustbin men.
Good idea, isn't it?
I mean,
cockroach men, spider men. What are you talking about?
I haven't had a normal conversation with you for a year.
No,
it's getting worse. I think it's because you've left and you've got too much time on your hands and you live in your head for sort of like maybe 8 hours a day, and then you offload when someone calls you, or when you call me, or Suzanne gets the brunt of it. But I mean, I don't know. I really would like to. I still think he's brilliant, right? But I would like to get a little psychiatrist in just to. Would you mind seeing a psychiatrist?
No, but it's just, there's nothing wrong. These are all ideas, aren't they? You look at some insects, right? Yeah. They don't have machinery, yet they're getting by, aren't they? They have their lives like we do. They get up, they wander about, they collect food, they tidy up, they fix stuff, they make their own house. We can't do any of that. So what I'm saying is, why aren't we using them? Why are these cockroaches with all these powers and stuff...
Powers?
..going about?
It's all these powers.
But how could we use them? How could we harness them?
I just told you, dustbin men. Or whatever that...
But no, you said that if they were also men, if they were cockroach men, we could use them.
You've left a big bit out, but when that one-inch cockroach becomes a six-foot bloke wearing a jacket...
It's just that we always use insects for, like, a bit of fun. You see flea circuses and all that, which is all very well, but I don't think it's getting the most out of them.
Cockroaches can live without a head.
Could they still sort out the rubbish if they've got no heads?
They could, couldn't they?
Except they, if they were, because you know you want to use them as builders and dustmen, they couldn't whistle at pretty girls, could
no,
they?
No, but they wouldn't be doing that job. They're just doing the bins.
Okay.
It's ants that are doing the building.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And are they getting up early? Are they disturbing you?
They don't sleep, do they?
But then it get you up even earlier. You hate it when the builders get you up at 7, then go to breakfast.
Yeah, but it wouldn't go on as long, would it? Because the ants would be working hard. So it'd probably be one day of madness, but then it'd be finished. As opposed to builders just stood about whistling, doing nothing, going on for months.
And is this ant 6 foot?
No. No. About 3.
3 foot. So how many of them are there?
About 30 of them.
And what do they look like? Are they just a giant ant with
a... hard hat on. Just get on with it. I mean, it'd be weird for a bit, but with anything, you get used to seeing
but
things,
Carl,
don't you?
Again, this isn't an idea, it isn't a theory. You can't put this into practice because it doesn't exist.
I know, I'm just saying.
You wishing for ant builders is the same as you wishing that you didn't have to do any building and your house was just perfect, or you could just wish for it. What's the difference? Why go through this elaborate? But what I'm saying is that your wish is you're not taking shortcuts. You see, it's the same people who goes, "Oh, I wish I'd go back in time and put £1,000 on the Grand National." What you mean is you wish you had £1,000,000.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Don't worry about the time travel bit and put in a. Do you wish you were rich?
Yeah.
It's like, so you wish you didn't have to have builders round. That's what you're wishing for. So this elaborate thing of getting a 3 foot ant with a hard hat.
Today I got an innovations catalogue. I thought I'd keep it because I like the stuff they sell in it. Brackets, one big slipper.
What's that, one big slipper?
It's just if you don't go out much.
But you don't like slippers.
No, I know, but I think they're a good idea because they're just there to keep your feet warm.
But why one big? Why not two smaller ones?
So you can walk around.
Yeah, one big slipper's just making it painful.
It's more
and awkward.
Sort of roomy, isn't it?
Why do you think that's a good invention? One big slipper.
How is that better than two smaller slippers?
Because the problem is with slippers, right? You've already said how you nip across the road in them, right? So you muck them up and you have to buy some more. There's no way you'll be nipping to the shops in that one big one. That will always stay where it should be, by the sofa next to the telly. And you go, right, I'm in for the night now, where's my slipper?
But can I just put my feet inside a cushion cover or something? What?
If you want, but it's only cheap, why not get one?
You're right.
They're only cheap. Why not get one? But then, Carl, why not get one big glove? If you're not going out, right, just get one big glove. You don't have to do anything. Just one big glove. Pop your hands in one big glove. I'm not going out. Gloves, you have to go out and touch stuff. Just one big glove.
Why bother putting trousers on? You've got to put legs in both. Why not just wear a skirt?
Yeah. Well, pop a skirt on, yeah.
Just put on a lady's skirt or a lady's dress. It's one piece, isn't it, then?
Yeah.
Just pop around in there.
One big monocle, don't wear glasses. Wear one big monocle. Yeah. I mean, it's stupid having two glasses. Two gloves, two slippers is mental.
Anyway, I had a good sleep last night. So much so that I woke up before my legs did.
I don't know what that means!
This has happened before when I was younger. We used to have a phone in the bathroom so that if anyone called and we were on the toilet, you'd still be able to be available. My bedroom was next to the bathroom and the phone rang one morning. My mum and dad were at work and my brother and sister were out somewhere and the phone woke me up. So I jumped out of bed to answer it, but the bottom half of my body was still asleep and I fell to the floor.
It's horrible. Has that ever happened to you?
I had to crawl for a bit and reached for the phone. It was a fella selling some bread to my dad for the shop. By the end of the call, my legs were working again.
It's a weird sensation.
What shop?
My mum and dad used to have a butty shop.
So did they?
But the thing is... just on the floor, top half, I had to sort of crawl, carrying my weight. And my legs were just like they weren't there. It's really, really weird.
You mean you woke up with two dead legs, two pins and needles, knee legs?
Are you sure you weren't wearing just one big slipper?